know, many a times when we become Christians, we come up to this altar and people pray for us and we receive the Holy Ghost and we get baptized in the name of Jesus. And some way, some reason, we think everything is going to be hunky-dory after that. Everything is going to be wonderful after that happens. But then we find out, hey, things haven't changed that much. Think I still have the same old problems. And guess what? I got new problems. So what's this all about? What happened here? That preacher, I thought he said that things were going to be better. But you know, but Job 14 and 1, the Bible tells us, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Hallelujah. I think we can all agree with that, that none of us have a perfect life. And we all are born of women. Hallelujah. You know, we have a lot of trouble. Some of it's our fault. Some of it's not our fault. It doesn't matter. We still have those problems. We still are going to be going through them, whether we've been saved or not. You know, Cain was a murderer. Noah, he was a drunk. Lot was an incest, guilty of incest. Moses had a major temper problem. Samson was out there with all the women and got fooled by all the women. I guess today you'd call him a womanizer. Saul was full of anger and jealousy. And David, he was an adulterer. Job lost everything that he had. Elijah was a coward. Hosea's wife was a prostitute, and she abandoned him. Paul had a handicap, which he called a thorn in his side. I've read different things about what the handicap was, but nobody knows for sure. And Peter, he was a liar because he lied about Jesus. And all the disciples at the last minute ran as fast as they could to get away from Jesus. So every one of them had a problem. Every one of them had something they had to go through that was a major problem in their life. Hallelujah. You know, 1 Peter 5 and 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you've been saved. The same thing is going to happen to you that possibly happened to your neighbor. Hallelujah. It's not that never went to church. Hallelujah. The Lord says, we all are under that same thing. We're all, don't sit there and think, oh, I've been saved. My life is going to be perfect. It doesn't make us immune. We're not always going to quit drinking or doing drugs, committing adultery, losing our jobs, having family problems with our wives and our children, incurable diseases, death, abandonment, poverty, and hunger just because we got the Holy Ghost. We say, oh, well, the Lord said I got power. Yeah, well, you got power. Your power is to be a witness. You know, Job 3 and 25 says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. You know what? We don't know what's going to happen. You know what? You end up with cancer. You end up, the doctor's going to tell you, hey, you got 6 months to live. Hallelujah. Get your act together. You got something that can't be cured. You're going to be suffering for the rest of your life. Your family, a family member, just got ran over by a drunk in a car. Hallelujah. You know what? You just lost your job and everything you have. Hallelujah. Because you're too old. Nobody else wants to hire you. There ain't that many jobs in your profession. Hallelujah. You don't know what's going to happen. These are things that we fear. We fear losing our life. We fear losing a loved one. We fear losing a way that we make our living. You know what? These things are not guaranteed that they're not going to happen just because you have the Holy Ghost or I have the Holy Ghost. That's no guarantee. You know, you say, oh, I prayed for healing, and I wasn't healed. My children, they didn't change. All of those things that we thought were going to be taken care of are still there. You know, we have preachers out there saying that everything is great, and if we believe in the Lord, everything will be taken care of. I'll be honest with you, as ministers of the gospel, none of us want to see anybody suffer. And it is our firm belief that God will take care of your problems. But it's a natural tendency to tell people, don't worry about it, God will take care of it. We sure that it'll be, but there's going to be problems too. You know, we can't help it. You know, in Jeremiah 14 and 13, then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me in Jeremiah 14 and 14, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesied unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of the heart. Let me tell you today, the preacher is not teaching, saying those things because he wants to lie to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. Hallelujah. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord tell us that we're going to have a perfect life on this earth. In fact, he tells us the opposite to that. That our lives aren't going to be perfect. I don't know about you. Is your life perfect? Is everything? Do you don't have any troubles? You don't have any problems? Listen to this. Matthew 10 and 34 says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. 10 and 35 says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And 10 and 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know what? That's the truth. Sometimes our families are our worst enemies. They're the ones that cause us the most problems. They're the ones that cause us the most trouble. You know, Matthew 5:11 says, "Men shall blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Luke 21:17 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Hallelujah. You know, at some time it seems like when you become a Christian, all of your friends start hating you. They don't want anything to do with you. All of a sudden, you know what? You might lose your job. Hallelujah. I told you what my boss I worked for told me that if I mentioned God again, he'd fire me. Hallelujah. He did fire my wife because she was trying to convert him. Hallelujah. But you know what? That's going to happen. People are afraid of Jesus Christ. They are going to do whatever to strike out against them. And they are going to strike out against you. And all of a sudden, that good life you had, all of a sudden, everything that was going great, hallelujah, now you got nothing. But you lost your job. You might lose your home. Hallelujah. You're fighting with your wife. Hallelujah. You're worried about your children. You got all of these problems. Hallelujah. I don't think that Peter and Bartholomew or Philip, when they were crucified upside down, James and Paul, when they had their head cut off, James, the son of Alphaeus, stoned to death by Jews. Andrew crucified. Thomas stabbed to death. Felt like they were walking in a rose garden. When we're laid in a hospital bed and facing the end because of an incurable disease, or mourning the loss of a loved one, or facing financial ruin, or going to prison even, I don't think we look out and see a rose garden. God did not promise us a rose garden. He did not promise that everything was going to be perfect. I don't know where we get that idea from. We get confused. And then guess what happens? Because something doesn't happen, we get a root of bitterness within us, and we say, "Well, I'm not going to church. I don't believe God. He's a liar. Jesus Christ doesn't exist. Hallelujah. I've been praying and nothing happened. I don't care what anybody says. I think it's all a fraud." You know, there's a book called "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." I read this book when I was much younger. And it's about a 16-year-old girl with schizophrenia and her struggle to live a normal life. Her name was Deborah Blau. And the novel chronicles her 3-year battle with schizophrenia in a mental hospital. In that book, "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden," the doctors told Deborah, "I never promised you a rose garden. I never promised you perfect justice. And I never promised you peace of happiness. My help is so that you can be free to fight for all of those things. The only reality I offer is challenge. And being well is being free to accept it or not. At whatever level you're capable, I never promise lives, and the world, rose garden world of perfection is a lie." Hallelujah. You know what? That's what the Lord says to us. He says, "I give you freedom to accept the things that happen in your life and the strength to challenge them. The Lord's not going to lie to us. He's not lying to you. He's not saying, oh, well, I promised you that everything is going to be perfect. John 8 and 32 tells us, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. The truth is, we cannot have a perfect life. That we, in order to grow closer to the Lord, we need to suffer. If our whole life is easy and smooth after we get the Holy Ghost, after we're baptized in the name of Jesus, we're just going to sit back and take it easy, and we're not going to get one inch closer to the Lord, because guess what? We lose the ability to depend upon Him, to trust in Him. Listen to this, 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. You got to suffer for a while. You've got to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Romans 8 and 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We have to suffer. We have to learn how to get down on our hands and our knees and cry out, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. We need to know that's why we suffer. We don't do it because God hates us. God does not hate us. Because you know what? In Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. We have to understand, yes, we are going to suffer. We are not going to be able to walk through that rose garden where everything is wonderful and everything smells great. Hallelujah. No, you know why? Because we need to suffer. We need it. Listen to this, 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it's strange. Don't sit there and be fooled that your life is going to be perfect because you became a Christian. Listen to this. Matthew 5 and 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Let me tell you, you know that one of the greatest weapons that the devil uses against us, it's not suffering, no. It's making life easy. Devil makes life easy for you. You think, oh, the devil causes all my problems. Why would he want to do that? No, he wants to make life easy for you. Then you quit trusting in the Lord. You say, I don't need the Lord. My life is perfect. I have a great job. I have wonderful kids. I have great health. I have a beautiful house. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I have everything that I need. I don't need God. But you know who comes to the Lord? The people that suffer. The people that go through all of these things. Hallelujah. They're the ones that come to the Lord. It's not because our life is good. I didn't come to the Lord because my life was good. I came because I suffered. I suffered. I needed something than what I had. You know, we have to have that understanding of who God really is. I sometimes think I'm not sure who God is in some people's minds. Who do they think he is? We have to have an understanding. We have to know who he is. And we have to understand that no matter, your life might not be a rose garden. It might not be perfect. And you might be suffering. And you might have troubles that you can't even imagine. That I can't even imagine. Because I don't know your troubles. But God knows your troubles. And he might not have promised you a rose garden. But he did promise you this. He's promised you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you in the midst of your problems. He's not going to just abandon you and tell you, work it out yourself, man. I ain't got time for you. I got other things to do. That's what we tell people sometimes, don't it, isn't it? I know I've told people that. I ain't got time for your problems. God never tells us that. He's always got time for our problems. Hebrews 13:5 tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's promised to supply all of our needs. He's going to get us through. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has promised us victory. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, hey, look, you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be there. Don't worry about it. I'm walking right beside you. He'll give us strength that we need to make it through. Because we ain't going to make it sometimes without strength. Sometimes we just want to give up. I know that there's times I just want to give up. I just want to quit. I'm tired of it. Lord, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be sick anymore. I don't want to be in pain anymore. I don't want to be this way anymore. I just want to give up. But he says, no. I'm going to give you some strength, and you're going to make it through. No matter what, you're going to make it through. Psalm 41:3 says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Ephesians 3 and 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Listen to this, and I love this one. Isaiah 40 and 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. He says, the weaker you get, the less, the more strength I'm going to give you. I don't care that whatever it is, I'm going to get you through, no matter how weak you feel. He'll guide us. He'll guide us. The Lord is our guide, you know. He's going to get us through all of those things. Luke 1 and 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And Psalm 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah. He's going to guide us. We might not see the way. We might not know which way to go. But he says, look, I'm going to show you which way to go. I'm going to show you what you need to do. You know, Lord says, I'm going to show you, you need to pray. I'm going to show you, you need to read your Bible. I'm going to show you, you need to meditate upon my word. He's going to show us what we need to understand. We can't do it on our own sometimes. He's promised us joy among the tribulation. John 15 and 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. Listen to this, 1 Peter 4 and 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. You know, we think we suffered. We think we suffer. We don't have any clue how much the Lord suffered for us. He was reviled. He was cursed. He was spit on. He was beaten. He was hung on a cross. He was stabbed. He was treated worse than an animal. Hallelujah. They didn't even do that to animals back then. At least they gave an animal a good death. They just cut its throat. But they didn't even do that for him. They made him suffer. Hallelujah. Our suffering is nothing compared to his. I heard a story about a man one time, and he was on a march. They'd marched him up in through up in the North Vietnam up to a prison camp. And he said they just push him, and then if they didn't go fast enough, they beat him. And they had very little food, very little water. And every day they just keep driving him and driving him. And he said he suffered, and he was suffering. And then he thought about something. And he looked up, and he saw in his mind, he saw a vision of Jesus Christ walking up that hill to Calvary. And he said, once he saw that, he said, guess what? He said, my suffering was nothing compared to what he went through. And he made it. He made it all the way on that march. And he made it to that prison camp. And he came out of there. And he came out of there a better man than when he went in. Hallelujah. Because he got closer to the Lord than he'd ever been. You know what? He's promised us if we ask that he'll give us wisdom. James 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hallelujah. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us wisdom to know to get through all of that. He'll give us understanding and wisdom, because sometimes that's what we need to get through it, is wisdom and understanding. And he's promised us eternal life, John 3:16. And I tell you, all the suffering in the world can never, never be equivalent to that promise of eternal life with him. He says in John 3:16, and we all know that, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he promised us that there will be a time when we'll no longer have to walk through the thorns and perils of life, and we won't have any more troubles, and everything will be good, everything will be fine, and we'll all be behind us, because everything will be new. Revelation 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm going to tell you right now, right in the middle of that troubles that you're walking through, right in the middle of all of those thorns, hallelujah, that are hidden beneath the roses, hallelujah. He tells us to join with him. He's sitting at a table, and he's got a cool drink and a comfortable chair, and he tells you in Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. 11 and 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. 11 and 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says, look, hey, just sit down for a minute with me. Sit down with me. Just put it all to the side and just sit down with me for just a few minutes, just for a little while, and I'm going to give you some peace, and I'm going to give you some rest right in the middle of all of these things. Hallelujah. You know, he's promised us that we wait on him, he'll get us through. He's going to get us through. You know, sometimes it seems it's not that the preacher is not telling you something that isn't true. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for a while. We have to wait on the Lord to do it. It's up to him. He's the one. He's the one that's in charge, not us. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Listen to Psalm 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just give the Lord some time. Give him a little bit of time. You have to suffer, but God knows it. He's got his eye on you. He's watching you. He says he'll never give us more than we can bear. Sometimes it seems like he's piling it on, and he's piling it on, and he's piling it on. But you know what? As long as you have the strength to endure, the strength to last, hallelujah, as long as you have the strength to make it to the end, he says, you shall be saved. Listen to that. Matthew 24 and 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So don't sit there and give up because you're suffering, because you have all of these troubles that you're going through. No, just hold on, because you're going to get through it all. You're going to get through it all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know if I went too long or not. I can't see the clock. I don't think the clock's even up there anymore. But anyway, since they haven't come out with the gong yet, just remember that the Lord loves you. He says, I got something good planned for you. No matter what happens, I love you. Yeah, you know what? You might have to suffer now, but what? It's going to be all worth it. All worth it. Now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you all so much. God bless you. I guess we got a little time to sit here and socialize and say hello to one another and fellowship and